Next on BYUSN, men's basketball takes on Kansas State tomorrow night in the Marriott Center. How do the Cougars match up against the hottest team in the Big 12? And with Selection Sunday 1 month away, would a win over K-State take BYU officially off the tournament bubble?
And Trevin Nell from BYU men's basketball previews tomorrow's game against Kansas State and narrowing on 1,000 career points. Incredible. And BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff discusses where he can improve as a quarterback and what BYU's motivation will be heading into next season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday. This is how we do it. Valentine's Day, February 14th. We sincerely hope you are feeling the love. And we're going to do our best to share the love today. I am Spencer Linton alongside Valentine Day's number one fan, Kristen Kozlowski.
Number one fan? Yeah. I love Valentine's Day. Let me tell you, I do. But there is always so much going on that it's a difficult holiday. It's like, here's your chocolates, here's your flowers, here you go, off to the next thing. I mean, do you guys celebrate Valentine's?
So we celebrated last night. You know, work sometimes gets in the way, right? Gymnastics tonight, then we've got a double dip of basketball. You and I are working a little bit of overtime tomorrow, but it's okay. You work around it. And frankly, I mean, if you go to a restaurant on Valentine's Day or buy flowers on Valentine's Day,
you're not getting in for 2 hours.
Crowded. Yeah. Everything's overpriced. So I am of the opinion that join the crowd that works around Valentine's Day.
I like to think that we're always celebrating Valentine's Day with our relationship, me and Travis. But smartly so, you celebrated last. I was going to say, Brittany, you know, are you in the doghouse? Because you're not there all day.
We're good. Okay, good. I think we're good.
That's a smart man.
Sometimes she says I'm good and I'm not really good. Hey, are we good? Yeah, I don't believe
you'll figure it out later.
Yes. Travis, did he deliver for you on Valentine's Day?
He did. He always does. And I tend to go over the top on Valentine's Day for our kids.
Yeah.
For, you know, so everybody gets a little something, and then Travis and I, and every year I tell him, hey, let's not do anything, just give me a card, chocolates, and I end up getting him something. So he always feels like, well, now we got to go shop, or now we got to one-up, you know, each other.
But you're that person.
No, we're not
getting anything for each other on Valentine's Day, and then you show up and you're like, here's this.
Yes.
Come on!
Yeah.
That's a tough position to be in. I've been in it several times. Travis, I feel your pain. The scramble is real when that happens. Speaking of scrambling, we've got a lot to do on this holiday. And let's get right to our Valentine's Day themed question of the day, which is simply, what do you love most about BYU athletics right now? You can take this any direction you want. At Samar_LaRopa on X Answers, the budding potential flower reference. I like it. So hopeful and excited for the future, they continue. Then this from at 201TDS on X says, Big Tom, in all caps, the man that got BYU where it is today. By far, the best is him getting the Cougars into the Big 12 conference. So his nickname now is Big Tom, apparently.
I love it.
Okay, and we've all had our opportunity to talk about Tom on the show, Kristen, but because you're here, you have a unique relationship with him.
Are you going to make me cry here on the show while I'm here? Okay, I love Tom Homo. And it goes back to when I was a player. I graduated in 2005, right when he took over as AD, but he had been in the mix, you know, working before that. He's just so genuine, and you can sense that he really wants to know how you're doing, wants you to succeed, wants to be a part of that. How can I help you, right? It's never been about how can I elevate myself, but how can I elevate you as a player and then as a broadcaster? I mean, we've been doing this a long time, and he's been a part of everything, and he's always at the games. He's supporting every single team, and I just love that he's been able to do that to help these athletes excel, but also do it in line with the church and in line with BYU, and that's a testament to the legacy that he's leaving.
It's a unique calling of sorts. Yes. I know it's not a calling, but it kind of feels like that within the BYU community.
It's a tough job.
No question.
And he's absolutely outdone himself. Raise BYU.
Well, he loves women's sports too.
Yes.
Okay. So he is a huge proponent for that. We'll have more from you in our social media question and more of Kristen's thoughts on this matter as we push through the show. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. For now, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I think Doug McDaniel is the key to all of it.
Into a three. Why not? Dallin Hall, 9 points. Richie Saunders, the one-hand whip in the corner to Catchings, drive, reverse lay-in, and score and one!
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Maybe you've heard, basketball fans, But the BYU men's team hosts the hottest team in the Big 12 conference right now on a six-game win streak, Kansas State, tomorrow night. Kansas State started 1-6. They were 1-6.
Not good.
Now they have the same record as BYU at 7-6. Yesterday, ESPN's Sean Farnham discussed just how impressive this specific six-game win streak is for Kansas State and what they've actually done.
They're playing the best basketball of anybody in the conference right now. They've won six straight, and it's not just that they've won six straight. It's who they've beaten. Arizona, Kansas, at Iowa State. I mean, they have significant wins within those six wins.
There is meat on the resume, to summarize what Sean Farnham just said. And look, I know their lilac purple uniforms are outstanding.
I love that color, by the way.
Right?
Yeah.
Tough to beat. They're playing better than even the lilac uniforms right now, Kristen. 13-11 overall, but they have jumped up in the metrics. They're three games back of BYU in terms of total wins, losses, but again, that identical Big 12 record. And good grief, just the quality of what they have done recently. How does BYU match up right now on paper with the hottest team in the Big 12?
Kansas State is an incredible team at this point in the season. They weren't a couple weeks ago.
They looked awful.
Everybody's writing them off, right? So there's a lot of similarities that you can see because BYU started conference not where we thought they would be. And they were trying to get their footing and they were trying to get chemistry. But if you look at the caliber of teams that this Kansas State team has beat, four of the last six that we talked about, that six win streak, are top 25 teams. Those were tough games. I mean, Kansas and then Arizona. And you go down the list, but their chemistry right now, I think, is at an all-time high. BYU's working towards that. It's not at its peak. Confidence is at an all-time high. This is a team that has five players that average just about double figures. They're playing elite right now. A lot of experience. BYU has experience mixed with some younger players. So as you look at each roster, there's potential for this to be a high-scoring game. Against Arizona, they didn't shoot the ball well. So they showed, this Kansas State team showed, well, we don't shoot well, 1-for-19 from three-point, but we can still win.
Yeah, they did.
They did enough to beat an Arizona team as one of the top offensive teams in the conference to win that game. So in my mind, this is a very scary Kansas State team, even though BYU is playing at home. They're riding a lot of confidence and a very balanced offensive team that if BYU doesn't show up defensively, they're going to be in trouble.
Watch out. So, of note, in bracketology, because Kansas State has done what they have done and have taken down four ranked opponents during this current six-game win streak, they are now in Joe Lunardi's next four out. They're back in the conversation. They were nowhere to be found like 3 weeks ago. Like, not even close. BYU fans were worried that this might be a quad three game for BYU and could potentially fall as a bad home loss if Kansas State came into Provo and won this game. Not the case. Kristen, they're working toward becoming a quad one game for a lot of teams, even when they're playing on the road. So a testament to what Jerome Tang is doing with this Kansas State squad. They've become much more efficient scoring the basketball during this recent streak, which again was not the case. Here's why I feel a little bit confident, more confident than some. It's Kansas State. I know they beat Iowa State on the road. And they survived Arizona State by one on the road. They're not great on the road. They're 2-6 away from home. And we just talked about the two wins that have both come in this six-game win streak. The Marriott Center should be and will be absolutely rocking. BYU used home court advantage to take care of Baylor. I know they didn't get it done against Texas Tech or Arizona, but I believe those teams are in that elite tier of Big 12 play. And then there's kind of the next tier, which is where BYU and Kansas State and Baylor sit right now. I think home court is enough to push BYU over the edge. That, to me, is where I'm hanging my hat.
That two-win on the road, you have to pay attention to. They obviously haven't played as well on the road, other than the Iowa State, as you mentioned. And, you know, to your point about Jerome Tang and what he's been able to do, fans were calling for him to be fired.
They wanted him out
weeks
of
ago.
Manhattan. Kansas State fans were like,
now
get rid of him.
He's the greatest coach ever because they're looking like an NCAA tournament team. And ESPN's Basketball Power Index gives BYU a 78% chance to beat Kansas State. KenPom gives BYU a 73% chance to win and favors the Cougars by 7 points. Does that seem fair?
Again, those numbers, given the current temperature of what is happening in the conference, to me, when I saw that, I was like, it's too high, right?
It seems high.
It's way too favorable for BYU. Kansas State's playing such good basketball. But again, a 7-point home win, Ken Pomeroy is saying. There's no line out other than that. I do feel like it is fair because Ken Pomeroy and his index and the statistics and all the analytics, this isn't an opinion. This is all stat-based. These are algorithms and math. They know what the Marriott Center means for BYU. And, yeah, this is, I believe it'll be a close game, but I think there's a real opportunity for BYU in the last 4 to 6 minutes of the game to just kind of extend a little bit and maybe wear Kansas State out a little in the Mountain Air. And I feel like that is, again, at first I didn't. I was like, nope, too high. But I do feel like it's fair because of what I just chronicled. And that, I mean, the Marriott Center factor, the Marriott Center magic, home court advantage is, in men's basketball for me, in men's basketball, is the most distinct and clear advantage of any collegiate sport out there. Like, that home court is stronger than even football and any other sport you can think of.
There's an advantage. There's a clear advantage at the Marriott Center. BYU shoots the basketball better. If you go down the list, they shoot the basketball better. They defend better on their home court. You're sleeping in your home bed. You're comfortable shooting in the lights of the Marriott Center. It's a massive advantage for BYU to get the rock there. I mean, they're loud. They're excited. And I do not doubt that tomorrow night is going to be sold out. They're going to be, I mean, just loud as can be in support, knowing that this Kansas State team is coming in on a 6-game win streak. It's a massive opportunity for BYU to build off that huge win against West Virginia on the road, a tough place to pick up a win. That's a huge positive, a resume builder. Now continue to put wins together, stack them on top of each other. How can BYU accomplish that? Well, this is an opportunity. I think even if they split with Kansas and Kansas State, you got to win this one. You have to win this game.
A couple of other factors based on the stats. BYU has struggled against teams that are really physical and get to the free throw line a lot. Houston, Texas Tech, Arizona. All of those teams shoot a lot of free throws and make a lot of free throws. This is not a team that shoots a lot of free throws because of the style of play that Jerome Tang has instituted. So that actually, I feel like, helps BYU.
Now, they do shoot a lot of threes, though.
They shoot a ton of threes.
Not at the caliber of BYU, but they do take a lot of three-point shots.
So the free throw scenario, again, gives me a little bit of confidence. And then they don't defend the three very well, as we have seen BYU do on multiple occasions this season. The Cougars have gone lights out from beyond the arc from the three-point line. Watch out. I mean, just ask Cincinnati and Baylor and some other teams about that. Kansas State does not defend the three super well, and this could be a huge advantage for BYU, as well as they're not as physical as some of the other teams in getting to the free throw line.
Agreed.
All right. I told you we were rolling. We had a lot to do on Valentine's Day. Hopefully, again, you're enjoying the good vibes, the love that we are extending to BYU basketball today. ESPN's Joe Lunardi, we're hoping, will give BYU a little bit more love in his bracketology if the Cougars can beat Kansas State. I know that's a big if right now. They are the second-to-last team in the NCAA tournament heading into the weekend. And we'll get to the specifics of this bubble conversation in just a moment, but not before we go back to ESPN's Sean Farnham, who discussed what BYU needs to do to get out of that bubble conversation.
If you want to get off the bubble, here's what you have to do. Sweep the next two games at home, and you got to win one of those two big games on the road. That's a lot.
Okay. And I jokingly said after he said that, oh, that's it. Super simple, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to take it back a step. So he gave you his opinion. Just looking, because of Kansas State and what they're doing, Kristen, would a win that ends Kansas State's 6-game win streak and finally takes down the purple power that are the Wildcats get BYU off the bubble?
Not just that.
No. So you agree with Sean?
I am siding with Sean here. I think that they need more to build their NCAA tournament. But this is a step in the right direction. I think if they win tomorrow night and they beat Kansas, you're now swayed away from that bubble.
Oh, yeah, you're 9-6
you're
conference.
In, right? I think they need to finish one game ahead in conference play. So they need to finish 11-9. Right now you're 7-6. You got to stay ahead of it. Right? You got a tough road trip the following weekend at Arizona and Arizona State, and then, you know, back home with West Virginia. So can you get it done on your home floor is the best route to go looking at the rest of the heavy loaded schedule.
Yeah.
Great opportunity where Kansas is a beatable team. Kansas State is a beatable team. Even though they've won 6 straight, they're a scary team, as we talked about, but this is a great opportunity, and I think to move away from that bubble talk, they've got to win the next two. and then potentially grab another one on the road.
Okay, so you tend to agree with Sean?
I do.
Win three of the next four games. To me, I wish it were as simple as just beating Kansas State. I do think that if BYU beats Kansas State, it's enough to take BYU from last four in to last four byes. Okay, so it would take them out of a play-in game scenario. A lot of basketball to go, so don't hang your hat on that so much. But I do think it would bump BYU up one level in the bracketology conversation, again, into the last four byes. If you want to get out of the last eight teams altogether in, then at least you have to beat Kansas State and you have to beat Kansas on Tuesday.
Agreed.
If you're 9-6 and you've just taken down both Kansas teams and you're on a three-game win streak, now BYU is probably receiving votes and garnering some top 25 consideration, because at 9-6, you're a top five team in the Big 12 in the standings. Right now, BYU tied for sixth with two other squads, including Kansas State. So at the least, I think you have to sweep Kansas. And then, gosh, again, asking for a road split, I know, feels like a lot, because Arizona has played at another level. And Arizona State,
they're beatable, though. Everybody's beatable.
Yes. There are no gimmies. Arizona State on the road, not a gimme. They just took Texas Tech double overtime, and I know, gut punch of a loss for the Sun Devils, but they're a capable basketball team with a really smart, good basketball coach.
Well, and you better believe West Virginia back here in Provo is going to want to get one at you, because you beat them out there at Morgantown.
Yes.
Like, they're
yes.
going to be fired up to want to beat BYU on their home floor.
I believe that as much as we all hate it, BYU will probably be hovering somewhere around the bubble for the remainder of conference play. Just get to 10 conference wins. I feel like that is enough to get BYU in the NCAA
at least.
Tournament.
Yeah. Okay? Finish 10-10.
7-6. If they go 3-4 in the back seven and they are 10-10, and then you go to Kansas City and you win a tournament game there and you get an 11th conference win that way, I feel like that locks BYU into the tournament. But I believe it is going to be a tight grip on the steering wheel.
A lot of
as BYU drives to that tournament. Yes.
Take it one game at a time. That's what coaches will tell you, one game at a time.
All right.
Last week, CBS Sports John Rothstein reported that BYU will play in the Diamond Heads Classic next season on Thanksgiving weekend in Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Okay, Thanksgiving in Hawaii. So
yeah, hopefully I'll be there.
Talk to Travis.
I'll be there. Yep.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. That's one that I love to go to. And, okay,
yes.
We'll be out there. And then yesterday, Robbie McCombs reported that along with BYU, Boston College, St. Louis, and Hawaii will play in that Diamond Head Classic,
okay,
as well as four other teams that have not been at it. So we don't know what those four teams are. How do you feel about BYU playing this? And is this a big enough tournament for AJ DeBanta?
Okay, so the AJ factor is interesting here, because BYU is probably invited to this tournament because of AJ DeBanta.
Okay. Yep.
And we don't know the other four teams. So on the surface, you see what has actually been announced: BYU, Boston College, St. Louis, and Hawaii. And you're like, okay, no world beaters in there. Is that good enough? Just give them time. I believe that this tournament will be high profile because AJ and BYU will be there. They wanted to lock in BYU, the tournament directors, so that they could go to other big level programs and be like, hey, do you want to play against BYU and have all of the national spotlight on your team when you were playing against AJ and the Cougars? So give it time. Right now, yeah, no, it doesn't feel great. Then again, BYU's schedule is probably going to be really tough in the non-conference next year. They're going to be invited to other probably multi-team events, and other teams are going to come calling because they want a piece of BYU and this recruiting movement. So, I don't know, maybe a few easier games is not a terrible thing,
okay.
Kristen.
And especially if you're going to have easier games, let's do it in Hawaii, you know? Let's do it in – but we do know, and we have heard Kevin Young say, the preseason that they played this year, what, their strength of schedule was 292?
292, not good.
It's not good. So the strength of schedule needs to be better next season in the preseason. You see these right now? What's on the schedule for Hawaii? Let's get some easier games, but book some harder ones, I think, around that is what we're going to
see. Find the happy medium?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Do it for Kristen, okay?
There you go.
It's not a lot to ask. Just do it for Kristen, please.
I'll take the easy ones in Hawaii, then. All right, BYU men's basketball hosts Kansas State tomorrow night at the Marriott Center. Pre-game coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The game tips at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
After the break, we continue our basketball conversation and do so with the sharpshooter, one of the best three-point shooters in BYU basketball history. Trevin Nell is in Studio B to preview the matchup with Kansas State. Stay with us.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by The Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Trevin Nell, the shot doctor.
Being on all these charts, three-pointers, games played, wins.
Definitely something to deal with both physically and mentally.
It's really fun to be able to take my experience when I was a freshman and now help some of these other freshmen. I had some roller coaster rides, but it's been really special for sure.
We are live on Valentine's Day in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is the fabulous Kristen Kozlowski. And just across the way from us in the Cougar Council Room is the young and sprightly Trevin Nell. Trevin, can we just point out for once that 26 is still super young?
Thank you.
Come on!
Hey, you are 17 years younger than us, so at least you got that going on,
the
right?
Same age as your coach, man. No.
I mean, apparently I'm 8 years older than Yegor, so that's flowing around pretty good.
Hey, we're putting out a plug.
Exactly.
That you're still young and very capable and full of big things ahead of you, my friend.
There we go.
How do you celebrate Valentine's Day with your lovely wife, Tatum?
So we actually went to communal yesterday. It was really fun. And then we're going to a place called Dreamwalk.
Okay.
It's apparently this new place in Orem.
Hey, okay. Brody went last night. And so
Brody's the one who told me about
it.
So he kind of plugged me for that. And so I was like, well, there's my Valentine's Day date.
Love it. That's
so
awesome.
Yeah,
it
seemed
pretty cool.
You know a guy at communal with the last name Santiago.
I do. Kevin. Okay. He's awesome. He's been hooking a lot of the guys up. And it's been fun to be able to, you know, try to pay back all the things he's kind of doing for us. So
tell me that a win over West Virginia doesn't make this holiday and this week just that much sweeter.
It makes it just that much better.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's talk about the dynamic of that, because it's not easy to come off of a tough loss like you did against Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Frankly, you know, I mean, you guys admitted it. You said it at the postgame. We just got beat. You know, Cincinnati made shots. Worst three-point shooting team in the conference. Goes absolutely bonkers. Okay, and I'm sure they felt like it was good payback for what you did to them in Provo.
For sure.
But to bounce back and win that game when you are kind of down in the depths a little bit, what did it take to do that?
Yeah, well, Coach Young really talked to us about how this needs to be like a more of a team win, you know? And like the Cincy one, we went down pretty early in the second half, and you could see like all of our emotion was kind of like down. He goes, we have to have a fix-it mentality. Like, people are going to go on runs. Like, how are we going to respond? Are we going to like kind of cower, or are we going to go out there and take it from them? And so going into the second half against West Virginia, that was the main talk. And it took everybody. You know, Trey Stewart came in huge for us, 3 for 3, big time shots with like 0.8 seconds left on the shot clock. Yegor hit a lot of big shots. And then big time Boscovich, you know, Mihai, comes in with an and one and a couple of threes. So that was our best team win. And West Virginia is a really talented team. They were winning a lot of teams. They're beating a lot of teams. They're doing a lot of things that are really good for them. And to beat them in their place is huge for us.
Well, we learned, Kristen, that going into the game, West Virginia was the toughest place to play a road game in the entire country.
That's what we heard.
Was it as loud as the Merritt Center? Like, what was it like to play there?
Yeah, so their student section gets pretty loud because they're all on the sideline. It's kind of like a Gonzaga feel.
Okay.
We got, I think, pretty lucky that there was a snowstorm. So I don't think the Upper Bowl wasn't as full. It probably would have been. But we still had BYU fans. Like, BYU, you know, the Cougar country, Cougar Nation, they travel, they're there. And we had people from New York traveling to the game. And so it's really fun to be able to play in front of our fans and have our fans stick after the game to see everybody. But, yeah, it was rocking. They have a little, like, paper that says who's the bum of the game, and it was Yegor.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it was, like, the starters.
That's why they're booing Yegor every time he touches the basketball.
Yes. And then mine was, like, he's so old, he should be in, like, he doesn't know when to, like, get a walker and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
that's Richie. Good. That's pretty good, though.
Richie, like, has too much energy that he doesn't know what to do with himself. He thinks every ball is, like, a $100 bill or something like that. Like, it was pretty funny. But, yeah, their place is rocking. I still think I'm biased, but Merritt Center is different. I think a lot of people need to come out and see what the Merritt Center is all about.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky to be at home tomorrow and on Tuesday, right? But how difficult has it been going throughout the schedule and playing on the road, coming off that long road trip, but to win games in the Big 12 on the road?
Yeah, well, just a long road trip in general is hard. Like, you try to get accustomed to the time change, then you're just in a hotel literally all day. And so it is a little difficult, but road games in the Big 12 are just as like, it's like a tournament game. You know, everything's against you, crowd's against you, the momentum is against you. So that's when you really got to band together. And I think throughout this season, you've seen our trajectory. We've seen kind of where we started on road games, you know, playing Providence and then playing West Virginia. and like our trajectory, how we come together, how we huddle is different, like our intentionality to detail is different. And so I think it just shows our maturity and kind of where this, you know, program is going.
Trevin Nell is on BYU Sports Nation. We now turn our attention to Kansas State, who have won 6 straight games.
The hottest team in the country right now.
It's wild. They were 1-6 in conference, and now they're 7-6, just like you. So What are you seeing on film in your in-depth study of Kansas State that they're doing so well and it's hard to defend right now?
Yeah, they play like their starters play a ton of minutes. There's 6-7 dudes max on in their rotation. They have a really skilled 4-man, Hawkins. He's really, really good. And then their point guard is just kind of doing it all for him. He's kind of the double head of the snake right now. But they're just a really gritty team. They're really well coached, and they've won a lot of games at home. And so to be able to go play against a team that's one of the hottest teams in the country, I think is going to be a really good resume win for us.
You're a bubble team right now, as you probably already know, but trying to stay focused on one game at a time. So how do you stay focused when there's a lot of talk outside of, okay, we need a win to keep ourselves off that bubble?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to we have the three things that we've kind of been focused on, and we really started focusing on when we kind of were going through these roller coaster of wins and losses. And it's just playing harder than the guy in front of you and playing for your brother and then having joined the gym. Like those three things, like before the game even started at West Virginia, I came into the huddle and I said, hey guys, like look around and enjoy this. Like just enjoy it. Because like we're one of the luckiest people in the world to be able to go out, play against fans that hate you, play against fans that love you, you know, and then play in a team that's like, we feel like everybody's family. And so when we really put all three of those together, I think that's really helping us to, you know, stay focused on the present and not get too caught up in, you know, what analytics say and what, you know, KenPom or ESPN says about us.
We knew it was going to be a journey with so much new involved in the program, certainly with the overhaul of the staff, and you're led by Kevin Young. And I know that you are one of the very, very polished veterans, along with Richie,
very polished,
Foose, and Dallin, and others, okay? But there still is so much new to the chemistry because there's just this insertion of some brand-new players like Yegor and Cannon and others. So what have you learned about this team and this staff that is number one on the list if someone says, okay, how are you a different team now than you were when you began this journey together?
Yeah, I think what we learned really quick is we're really good playing in transition. We're really good playing fast. And I feel like a lot of coaches like get a little nervous with that because they're like, hey, like let's play fast, but let's play like controlled. And for us, it's like, let's just play fast. And like we play better when we play fast. Like we're more controlled. And when we play slow, that's when we kind of do too much. Turnovers kind of start to happen. So we figured that out. And then honestly, just being able to have the chemistry of the guys coming in, off the bench, guys starting and stuff like that. I feel like we've really kind of honed in on kind of who plays well together, what works really well, and guys are making a lot of big plays. Guys are stepping up. Talk about Mo and Trey. Like, those guys came in, guarded Javon Small, and Javon's, like, the leading scorer in the Big 12, and we held him to 4 shots. And so he's a really, really talented player, but everybody's stepping up and I think everybody's starting to trust everybody. So it's awesome.
Individually, as you look at kind of your goals that you've set forth, you're 5 points away
so close
from scoring 1,000. So I wasn't sure if you knew or not. So you're aware of that, right?
Tyson told me. I told him I was saving this for the Mary Center. Okay. I want to be doing it in my own gym. You know?
I mean, that's 2 3-point shots, right? That's all you need. Just go hit 2 3.
Do you want it to be a 3 that eclipses it?
I kind of want to lay up first, and now I just want a 3. So We're going to see how that plays out.
But what would that milestone be for you as you've had such a journey here to get to this point in your career?
It means a lot. Like my freshman year, I started – you know, I played a little bit, and then I broke my thumb, so I was out of the rotation, so I didn't really play my freshman year. And then sophomore year, junior year was great, and I tore my rotator cuff my senior year, so I was out that year. And so it's just been like roller coaster kind of a season and a career for me. And so being able to, you know, scoring points isn't everything, but to be able to be like, okay, I did this for this program. I was a key part to help us win a lot of these games. So it will be fun to be able to do it, especially in front of my home coach, home crowd, and everything.
Outstanding. Trevin Nell on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, a couple of quick hitters before we wrap up. One, we got to point out the T-shirt you're wearing. It says KYU.
It's pretty nice.
And it's got your number 24 down there. Okay.
I love it.
We got to get Kevin we got to get Coach one of those.
Yeah, I haven't showed him yet because I was like, I got to keep it low key for a second. But hopefully he sees this and is like, oh, I need one of these shirts.
Those are going to catch fire.
He's pretty even keel. He might blush.
He might. Can you imagine the whole Rock rocking this, though? That'd be tough.
That would be tough.
It's a whiteout and everybody's rocking KYU.
Do we have a fat head of Kevin Young yet? Have we seen that with the Rock?
We got to get Coach.
We got to get one.
Bearded Kevin Young in there.
A bearded one.
Right?
A bearded one would be next level.
That would take it to another level for sure. Okay, it is Valentine's Day, and you told us food's heavily involved in how you celebrate the day with your wife, Tatum. She's a talented actress, among other things. She's like just
crushing it.
She is so talented at all the things she does. Okay? Mm-hmm. But if you had to pick one rom-com to watch with your movie star wife, where are you going?
Okay, a rom-com. So this is actually super funny, and I love that you're here because we were talking about players and what, like, movies they would be in. And so Brody was the first one that came up, and Brody's apparently going to be, like, he's the Outer Banks character. He's the one that's, like, he's a surfer, beach guy. Like, he's the person that, like, all the girls kind of want right now, you know? And then I was like, well, what's mine? And then everybody's like, I feel like you're like in the proposal, you know? It's like, oh, thank you. Okay. So at least me and Ryan Reynolds have something going on. So
the proposal is where you settle.
Here we're going. Sitka, Alaska, apparently.
I love it.
We love Ryan Reynolds. He's an incredible actor, too. Well, thank you for joining us. Best of luck against Kansas State.
Let's go.
That's a big game.
You got the karma, bro. Go do your thing. Get
Kansas
to 1,000
State
points.
State in Kansas. Let's go.
Let's go. Thanks, Travis.
Right. Yep. All right, BYU women's basketball hosts number 20 Oklahoma State tomorrow at the Marriott Center. You can watch on ESPN Plus or listen on BYU Radio beginning at 5 Eastern.
After the break, we'll preview a busy weekend that includes the women's basketball team that Kristen just mentioned and a new addition to the BYU football staff. What is this about? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Alongside Kristen Kozlowski, I am Spencer Linton. It feels like the appropriate time to get to our holiday headlines.
Right, men's basketball tomorrow takes on Kansas State at the Marriott Center. The Wildcats come in having won 6 straight games, while KenPom gives BYU a 73% chance to win. Pre-game coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The game tips at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
BYU football has announced the hiring of Nate Potocnik as the assistant director of strength and conditioning. He worked under Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia and New Mexico last season and previously spent more than 10 years in the Army. You think he knows how to get guys in line?
What a great pickup. And women's basketball hosts number 20 Oklahoma State tomorrow in a game one of the doubleheader at the Marriott Center. BYU is looking to get back after a tough road stretch where they lost two. You can watch on ESPN Plus or listen on BYU Radio beginning at 5 Eastern.
Let's hang out for that game, shall we?
We will. We'll
okay.
be there.
Number 7 men's volleyball beat Concordia 3-1 in the first MPSF match of the season. The Cougars led by Mix Romanus with a match high 16 kills. BYU and Concordia will meet again in match 2 tonight, 10 Eastern. Watch it on Big Ten Plus.
And softball shuts out Illinois 1-0 in game 2 of the Puerto Vallarta College Challenge. An RBI from Bree Townsend in the 5th inning led to the Cougars to win, which keeps BYU unbeaten to start the season. They are 5-0.
Let's go!
Playing amazing. BYU plays 3 more games, beginning with Boise State tonight, followed by Indiana and Florida International tomorrow.
BYU baseball opens their season tonight in the first of a 4-game series against Fresno State. The Cougars finished 2024 with a record of 21-31. They were picked last in this season's Big 12 preseason poll. So the disrespect is out there. Time to go out and exceed expectations. You can listen to Dave McCann on the call tonight, beginning at 9 Eastern on BYU Radio.
And gymnastics will be back home in the Marriott Center to take on Big 12 opponent West Virginia. You'll be on the call for that one as well. Busy, busy. BYU is coming off a season high team score of 195.825 against Denver last weekend. Watch tonight's meet at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus.
And men's and women's track and field headed to 2 different invitationals this weekend. The distance and throwers crews are headed to the University of Washington to compete in the Husky Classic. Sprints, hurdles, and jumps will compete in New Mexico for the Don Kirby Elite Invitational.
Number 21 men's golf is currently in fourth place after day one at the John A. Burns Intercollegiate in Hawaii. The Cougars shot one over par in the opening round. Peter Kim and Zach Jones currently lead the team, both scoring one under par. That's how I know spring's coming. We got golf coming.
Yep.
Round two tees off later this afternoon.
I'd like it to feel more like spring than it does today. Men's tennis hosting Idaho State tomorrow for their second home match of the season. Women's tennis will compete in Colorado, two-match road stretch against Colorado State and Denver. After the break, BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff joins us to discuss where he's looking to improve his game the most this offseason. And what's BYU's motivation going into 2025? This is BYU SN. BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Kristen Kozlowski. And we continue with our high-level interviews and welcome in the BYU quarterback, the fabulous and outstanding Jake Retzlaff is back in studio. It's been a while since you've been here, Jake.
It has. I don't remember last time I've been sitting here in Studio B. I think I came for the Kalani show, but I haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, so maybe right after you signed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the last time.
So thanks for joining us in person, man.
Of course. It's about time. It's overdue.
You're a busy man. So yeah. To get you, we're very grateful to have you back. I'm
happy to be on here. This is the best show there is. So
let's talk about some of your recent travels, which included New Orleans and the Super Bowl. What was that weekend like?
Yeah, so I got an incredible opportunity to go out and speak part of a Unity Summit through the Robert Kraft Foundation. It's cool. It's bringing Jewish athletes together with African-American athletes. I got to speak on a panel with Greg Joseph, Leonard Fournette, Nancy Lieberman, and so it was really fun. It was moderated by Jess Sims, and and then right after we spoke, Robert Kraft went up and spoke with Meek Mill, who's like one of his buddies, which draw that connection, it's hard to draw.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, that one is not believable on paper, but
you had to be there to see that. No,
Robert Kraft and Meek Mill dapping it up.
No, 100%. And they're like totally buddies and everything. It's like, it's legit. When you see them talking together, you know it's a legit friendship and stuff. But yeah, it is hard to believe.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So if you could summarize the messages that came out of that conference, what would it entail?
Oh, man, it was so powerful. I'll tell you what. If you don't know the Nancy Lieberman story, that's the story. Go look it up. She is such an impressive individual. She's basically the pioneer of the WNBA.
Yes.
She did all the sports and everything like that with, like, the least amount of incentive. She was just the pioneer. She did it for the love of the game. She did it to raise up women's basketball in the public view. And so it was so cool to hear from her and get her contact and be able to keep in touch with her, as well as guys like Leonard Fournette and Greg Joseph. And those guys all got incredible stories about just being you. I think my biggest takeaway, it was something that was repeated over and over again. It was kind of like, just be unapologetically you. Mm. Like that was kind of the main takeaway that I got from the conference. And it was, like I said, it was so powerful to hear from all the different individuals and just know that, like, there's a great, you know, force out there of unity between Jewish community and the Black community that's super strong. And so just lifting each other up together it's so fun and so great to be part of a community like that. It was just a blessing to be able to go out there.
I love it.
And very grounding, I think, to hear, you know, doing it for the right reasons, because it can get so muddied right now with NIL and transfer portal and everything, right? But you also have another event that you were telling us a little bit about that you're going to tomorrow.
Yeah, so this is a BBYO conference, which is the biggest, like, teen conference for Jewish Americans, and so it's in Denver, and I'm headed up there as one of the keynote speakers. So it was super cool when they invited me up. They told me that you know you're making a difference when they tell you you were the most requested speaker at the event for all the kids. And so I was like, you know, I can't turn that down. And so I got them to also fly my parents up to Denver. And so my brothers both go to school at Colorado State Pueblo right now. And so it's going to be cool to see everybody, get everybody back together in Denver, a little family trip in a way. But
yeah,
I'm excited to speak and talk to these kids. And I believe it's mostly like teenagers, high school kids and stuff like that, all Jewish kids. And so, like, the opportunity to be able to go through an event like that, just with a ton of Jewish kids and, you know, Jewish people that are like me, it's super powerful. It's super awesome for me. And because it's the opposite of what I do on a day to day, right? Yeah. I'm here in Utah where there's not a lot of Jews. And so it's super fun to be able to do stuff like that and just connect with the community and give back to the programs that brought me up.
Listen, amazing. We're just glad that you're in the Beehive State, okay? We're glad that you chose BYU, man.
We are the lucky ones.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm more lucky than you guys know, but
I'm looking back on just like 3 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, at what your life was then compared to what it is now. So how would you, if you could go back in a time machine and talk to that Jake, what would you say to him?
That's a good question. It sounds corny, but I'd be like, just keep your head down and grind, man. It's going to be worth it. What you're doing, because when you're in junior college and you're going through the grinds, the days in, the days out, and you're, you know, working your tail off, and like, it's hard to see like what's to come of this. You're just hoping and praying that a coach catch a coach's eye and they like you and they want to recruit you. And so like that whole process can be so brutal that it's hard to be like self-motivated and stuff. And I had a great support system from my family. Playing with my brother was incredible. Teammates at Golden West, my best friends growing up who were a year younger than me. So they were finishing their senior year as I was in junior college. And it was super cool to have that support. But man, at the same time, it was like, I would just tell myself, man, just keep grinding. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing the right thing. Keep grinding. You're going to be all right. Like, and then hopefully give myself some comfort at the same time, getting me to continue to perform better and just always keep getting better.
Love it. Well, we know you have an incredible work ethic. So what does your off season look like in terms of what you're putting in work and what are you hoping to improve on?
Yeah, I mean, number one thing this off season, you know, we ended so late, right? The December 28th game, I got to go home for 1 week and then we were right back here for school starting. And so it was a quick turnaround. So really, honestly, the early parts of the off season, it's about getting back to 100%. Because that season does wear on you a lot. I mean, by the bowl game, I was pretty close as you can get that late in the year. But getting back to 100%, then getting the body and improving on it. During the season, my big thing, I'm talking to Dan, our nutritionist, Dan Wilcox, Dan the man, as he goes by in the building. Huge shout out to Dan. He's incredible. Just getting the body percentage, fat percentage down, getting the body right again. And, like, that's number one for me right now, especially getting into spring ball. That and then back in the film room, like always, you know what I mean? The film room is what helped me put together the season I got to put together and what's going to help us get to that, the next step, because we're on the verge.
Yeah.
Like I kept saying that all year, we were on the verge of being one of the best offenses in the country, and talking to A-Rod this offseason, looking back on the team, we're like, man, we were one more touchdown a game for being a top five offense in the country, one more third down, one more red zone score, like one more of these stats. They seem little, but you do them all and you're a top five offense in the country, and that's what we're trying to be. So, you know, right now it's the strength staff, you know, has us in the palm of their hands, and, you know, they're getting us dialed up. Yesterday was one of the hardest workouts of the off season. These last 3 weeks before, or 2 weeks now before spring ball, they're really gonna kick our butts, which is great for us. It's really good. But yeah, and I mean, first things first is getting the body right, getting the body fat percentage, trying to get down to 10%, so I can feel good and run good, and then it's spring ball.
The margin between great and elite is so razor thin.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm glad you pointed that out. And BYU is a program, and you and your teammates are of the mindset that when you feel disrespected, you seem to thrive. Like, it just, for whatever reason, it's been this way forever at BYU. Like, when there is perceived disrespect or overlooking, that seems like when BYU plays some of their best football.
No doubt.
I don't think you're sneaking up on anybody this year.
No.
So what is that edge that you will take this year that will motivate you and push all of you to another level?
Yeah. So my biggest thing is, like, we need to learn from last season as much as we learned from the season before. Last offseason was the obvious motivators, right? I mean, being a 5-7 team, going to the offseason, like, we know we were better than that from the beginning. And so going into last offseason was easy. This offseason's a little different, but you got to find ways to still learn from last offseason. We know we could have won every game we played last year. I mean, you guys saw it. I mean, we were, what, a total of 4 yards away from, you know, 13-0 and playing in the, you know, all the conference championship game in the playoffs. And so knowing that the offseason that we went through last year put us in that position allows us to just buy in even more, to believe even more, because when you come off a season when you're 5-7, man, you're looking around like, man, we got to do something different.
Yeah.
But now it's like, man, we were doing it right. So now let's push the envelope even more. We're not winning workouts anymore. Like, win. We used to break down on win all the time. We're going to win this workout, win this practice, win this, what we're doing, this rep, win it all. Now it's dominate. Like, we had a lot of close games this year, and we want less close games because we're winning by 2-3 scores. Like, that's the mindset that I'm trying to instill in this team, that we are trying to instill in this team, is that it's dominate now, guys. It's leave no doubt. We don't want to hang around with anybody else. Like, we want to make sure that we are clear top team in the country, because, you know, even when we got up to 6 in the country last year, like, people were still, like, laughing.
Fraudulent!
Yeah, that word was common.
Yeah, they just laughed at us no matter what. And so it was awesome to end the season on such a high note, winning that big bowl game. And then people realizing, like, oh, is this BYU team actually pretty good? And seeing Arizona State go and give Texas a good fight was cool, but we knew that we could have easily been in that position, man. I mean, watching the Big 12 championship actually, like, physically hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I remember sitting in front of the TV watching that game, and I was just, like, upset, because I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, we should have beat that Arizona State team, which would have put us in the Big 12 championship, and whoever we would have played, we would have beat them by a lot. And so knowing that, it just is another motivator for this offseason, knowing that we can be that number one, you know, for me, it's that number one offense in the country. You know, and our defense was the top defense in the country last year, and they did a heck of a job, and they're going to be even better this year. I believe that with our core that's coming back, and that's both sides of the ball, but you know I can control that offensive side of the ball, and so that dominate mentality is going to be different for us. We're going to take pride in kicking our defense's butt in spring.
Love it. Well, you enter your third season with the offense, so as a leader, how important is that going in as the third year?
Yeah, it's huge. I've definitely held myself accountable to the point of taking the next step in leadership, right? Like, it, regardless of where you are as a leader, last year being in a competition as close as it was with a great leader like Gary, was, you know, different in the dynamic of me with the team, right? I mean, I had to worry about first comes first, is like, I got to win my job, and so I could be the guy on the field, and then it's lead the team from there. Now, you know, being established, it's a different mentality coming back. You know, it's not so, like, I don't know if defensive is the right word, because it's not a great word for, like, your actions or what you're doing on the field. It's more like, now we're understanding we're growing different ways together. It's kind of hard to describe, but just making sure I'm taking that leadership step, making sure I'm, you know, the thing we say in the quarterback room a lot is the hardest part about the standard is you are the standard. And so for us, that means we're showing up to workouts early. That means we're doing the extra stuff. That means, you know, guys see us working harder than we need to be. Like, and when, you know, a young guy especially sees these older guys, and it's great to see, like, me and Jack Kelly work out next to each other, like, right across the way. Harrison Tiger and Jack Kelly are right there. And then I'm working out with the quarterbacks right across the way. So we're seeing them work hard. They're seeing us work hard. And so, like, for young guys especially to see that, and that's where the culture builds, is when they see the dudes who made so many plays last year. Like, Jack Kelly, man, you would be like, dude, do whatever you want in the workouts. We know you're showing up on Monday. But that's not Jack at all. Jack is in the weight room throwing up weight. Him and Harry lift together, and they're throwing up weight, and they're getting stronger, getting faster, and we're racing all the time. And even when we're out in the field, like, I love racing with the linebackers because that group works so hard. And so the linebackers are right next to me, and we're all sprinting next to each other. And so and they win some, I win others. And so it's super fun, that competitive edge. And So all we can hope is, man, not only develop better ourselves by doing that, but also leading the way that way. Because, like I said, you are the standard. So if you're going to be pushing it, regardless of your status on the team, regardless of who you are, you're never arrived.
Jake, it's a pleasure to have you in studio. Great to catch up with you, man. Yeah. And hey, you've got the karma now to go to Denver and deliver a powerful message, which I know you will. I joked with your dad when we were in Phoenix that I'm going to get down to Southern California and play SoCal golf with you and your dad at some point this offseason.
Let's go.
Just appreciate what you do for BYU and how you represent, man. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate you guys for having me on. It's always a pleasure. A little late, but better late
than
never.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. We'll get you back sooner next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. BYU Gymnastics returns to action tonight at the Marriott Center to take on West Virginia. You can watch at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
And in the spirit of this day, what do you love most about BYU athletics right now? More of your responses on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our Valentine's Day question of the day. What do you love the most about BYU athletics right now? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from @jroyal_09, who says, I love that Utah hasn't beaten BYU in football in over 5 years.
I think a lot of BYU fans love that.
Good grief. It hasn't been quite 5 years, but I get what you're trying to say. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Well, BYU softball improved to 5-0 yesterday.
Go! 5-0!
5-0. three games to go in Mexico this weekend. Busy weekend in BYU sports.
Rough life in the warmth and sunshine of Mexico.
You know, no better way to play softball.
Absolutely.
Good luck to all the teams in action this weekend.
Huge weekend. Okay, let's gear up. Tonight, tomorrow, yeah. Let's do it. Our thanks to today's guests, Trevin Nell and Jake Retzlaff.
The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Kristen Kozlowski, I am Spencer Linton, and a shout out full of love to our friend Dennis Pitta. We miss you, Dennis! Happy Valentine's Day, and go Cougs. We'll see you tonight for gymnastics.